Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're going to read this morning Canto 9, Chapter 10, Text 5. It's in relation to Lord Ramachandra. Vishvamitra Dvare Yena Maricha Dhyanisha Charaha Pashyata Lakshmanas Yaiva Hatanai Rita Pungava Vishvamitra Dvare Yena Maricha Dhyanisha Chara Pashyata Lakshmanas Yaiva Hatanai Rita Pungava. Vishvamitra Dvare Yena Pashyata Lakshmanasyaiva Hata Nairita Pungava Vishvamitra Dvare Yena Marichadya Nishacharaha Pashyata Lakshmanasyaiva Hata Nairita Pungava Vishvamitra Dvare Yena Ladies, can anyone see? You have your little tablet. Vishvamitra Dvare Yena Maricha Dhyanisha Charaha Pashyata Lakshmanasyaiva Hata Nairita Pungava Vishvamitra Dvare Yena Vishvamitra Advare. In the sacrificial arena of the great sage Vishvamitra. Yena. By whom? Lord Ramachandra. Maricha Adya. Headed by Maricha. Nishachara. The uncivilized persons wandering at night in the darkness of ignorance. Pashyata Lakshmanasya, being seen by Lakshmana. Eva, indeed, Atta, were killed. Nairita Pungava. The great chiefs of the Rakshasas. Translation. In the arena of the sacrifice performed by Vishvamitra, Lord Ramachandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, Rakshasas, and uncivilized men. and one lady too, who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. May Lord Ramachandra, who killed these demons, in the presence of Lakshmana, be kind enough to give us protection. There's no purport. But I selected this verse, inspired by Vaisheshika Prabhu's class yesterday, about the qualities of Gaya, the qualities of a king, and seems appropriate for what we're doing. So much of Srila Prabhupada's writings, particularly in the first canto, and elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada emphasized very strongly the necessity of having qualified rulers, qualified kings. And what more qualified king is there than the ideal king? Lord Ramachandra. And I was listening very carefully to the qualities indicated that were the qualities of Gaya. Many, with nice description by Srila Prabhupada of what each of those qualities really means. And the potency, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, our Vaishnava understanding is he has unlimited potencies. Inconceivable. And unlimited potencies. And sometimes he exhibits these, and sometimes he withdraws those and exhibits others and withdraws those. But he's full of all transcendental potency. And for a ruler, as is Prithu Maharaj, the Shaktimesh avatar for ruling, Palana Shakti, ruling potency, Prabhupada's writings in his Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita indicate these two features for Palana, to rule and to maintain the living entities, as we heard about Gaya. He saw that there was sufficient food, he saw that their property was protected, and so forth. So it's in the the verse that I selected, Prabhupada is translated in the verse protection, but the word in the verse is hata, he killed. But that's, we know from Bhagavad Gita, also quoted by Vaisheshika Prabhu yesterday, the three purposes for which the Lord appears. One can say they're all under the category of protection. Pritranaya sadhanam, vinashaya shaduskritam, and establishing principles of Dharma. Certainly, Ramchandra established principles of Dharma. The Ramayana is loved for that reason. You read Ramayana and it's thrilling. Besides, you know, the action, just the virtue exhibited by Lord Ramachandra, and by, as we heard yesterday, by hearing the qualities of a virtuous person, those qualities gradually, the potency is there at least, that those qualities become your qualities. And so virtuous society results from those who hear Ramayana. And so I thought I'd speak something about Lord Ramachandra, and like a little sharing on the side, I counted it. 10 days ago, I was in South India at a place called Tirupalani. It's also known as Adi Setu. And it's the place where Ramachandra is called Sharanagati Kshetra. It's where Ramachandra gave shelter, he gave protection to Vibhishan, to the two spies of Ravana, and to Samudra. So, both the Prithranaya Sadhunam and the Vinashaya Traduskritam is this morning's class. So, hearing those pastimes in the place where they happened, it's really powerful. It's really powerful. So, you're the recipient of some of that wow feeling from being in that place and discussing those pastimes. So, if I get a little enthusiastic this morning, please excuse me. In the verse, there's these Vinashaya cha Duskritam is mentioned specifically. Vishvamitra, Muni, was a resident in a forest along with other sages, and they were being harassed, severely harassed, Rakshasa-like severely harassed, by Tataka and her two sons, Subahu and Maricha. So, I want to share a little bit of how that came to be. Over here is Lord Brahma, who had a number of sons, of course, starting with the four Kumaras, and then Lord Shiva, and Swayambhuva Manu, and Shatrurupa, to begin, you know, the populating and ruling of the humankind. And then 10 sages. One of those 10 sages was Palastya. And Palastya had as one of his sons Vishrava. So Vishrava was a mystic and a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, as was Brahma and as was Palastya. And he was so exalted that Bharadraj Muni requested Vishrava to accept his daughter in marriage. They married, and Kuvera was one of the sons of Vishrava. And Kuvera was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. To honor Lord Shiva, Vishvakarma made a special place for him, for Kuvera, and it was the golden city of Lanka. Now, stepbrothers were Kuvera and Ravana, which is very interesting. So, just to appreciate the depth of how these things happen. There's lessons embedded in all of this. It's not just story. Vishrava had a second wife. And his second wife was named Keshini. And Keshini was from the Daitya dynasty. Daitya means the sons of Diti. And Diti was one of the wives of Kashyapa, and Kashyapa was was brothers with Palastya. So they existed for some time. The dynasty existed. And the king of the Daityas was named Sumali. And Sumali was married to Tataka. And Sumali and Tataka had three children, one daughter, Keshini, who married Vishrava. Sumali was really into having his daughter, Keshini, marry a super qualified person. Parents are like that sometimes. So he searched here and there and couldn't find a proper qualified person. He determined that Vishrava was qualified, and so, in addition to, it was an arranged marriage that kind of fell in love, and Keshini, one of his children, Sumali, king of the Daityas, married Vishrava. Don't marry a Daitya. You have a problem. They had five sons and two daughters. The eldest was Ravana. And then Kumbhakarna. And Kara, who became the king of Janasthan, and Dushana, they're all brothers. And there was one good one amongst the five, Vibhishan. Five brothers and two sisters, or two daughters. Suparnaka we know, and one lesser known, her name was Kambini. Kambini became married to Madhu. Those of you that are familiar with Vrindavan and Madhuvan, it got its, well, Madhu was in the Daitya dynasty, but he was a very good man, very favorable to the demigods and so forth and so on. And, but they had a bad son, Lavanasura. And Lavanasura was a terror, and Shatrughna was sent by Ram when he returned back to Ayodhya, and Shatrughna killed Lavanasura. So he has some bad genes over there. Five sons, two daughters. Born of Vishrava and Keshini. But Keshini, she had two brothers. And her two brothers were Subahu and Maricha. So there's the connection between Ravana, why Ravana was able to go to Maricha. It's because they were related. Ravana's mother was Maricha's sister. So Sumali and Tataka, being in the Daitya Bhav, they had this plan. He was really fixed, Sumali. He was really fixed in tormenting the Brahmanas. That was like his thing. So he made a mistake. He tried to torment Agastya. Now, Agastya was one of the sons of Palashya, just as Vishrava. So he went to a relative, Agastya Muni, drunken, intoxicated, ran towards him to devour him. Agastya just raised his eyebrows and burnt him to ashes. Don't mess with Agastya. So when Tataka found out that her husband had been killed by Agastya, you know, in self-defense, but that didn't matter. She says, my husband was killed by Agastya. So she got her two sons to join her, and they rushed at Agastya in his ashram to destroy him in retaliation. She didn't learn from the mistake of her husband. So he cursed them. He didn't kill them. He cursed them. That they become ugly looking, because they were previously beautiful looking. Ugly looking, terrible looking rakshasas. She didn't learn a lesson. She went on a rampage. Well, I can't get Agastya, but I'll kill the other lesser brahmanas. So she, Tataka, now rakshasa looking, went to Ravana. Ravana assisted her in taking proprietorship, ruling basically, a large tract of land that was forested, and she was using some of the land, the Range Rover, the Night Rover. She went at night and with her two sons, Subahu and Maricha, and tormented the brahmanas and devoured them. And so Vishwamitra Muni was nearby. So they didn't just contain themselves to, you know, her territory. She went and was tormenting Vishwamitra Muni. So he was powerful enough to do her in, but Vishvamitramuni instead went to being highly learned in many ways. He went to Dasaratha and requested the 13-year-old son, Ram, to come and, you know, the pastime from there. Dasaratha protested. Oh, no, I'll go. My son's too small, too young. She's very terrible. I'm very powerful. I've got a whole army. Let's go. I've already asked you. Are you going to deny my request? Uh-oh, don't deny Vishvamitra's request. Please, please, please. What is your decision? Not a long discussion. No negotiation. Just tell me what you're going to do. Okay, he can go. So Ram went with Vishvamitra, along with Lakshmana, and, you know, long narration of this place, that place, and histories, and, you know, Ramayana style, giving details and details and details of places and people and things. And Ram was reluctant when he saw Tataka, because she's a woman. So as with Krishna's Leela, so with Ram's Leela, or vice versa, the first demon that was killed was a female. So he was... And Vishvamitra said, doesn't, you know, demon is demon. Doesn't matter gender or culture or caste. She's a demon. Destroy her. So Ram destroyed her and Subahu, and with one arrow, Maricha went whatever the distance was, some long distance away. So he survived. And later Maricha informed Ravana, don't mess with Ram. You don't have any idea of how powerful he is. So the verse is specifically speaking of Ramachandra's giving protection against, by killing terrible rakshasas. So that's one way to give protection when it's deemed that kind of extreme, like Tamahari yesterday was describing how to deal with troublesome people. You don't right away, you know, like get rid of them. But when rakshasa-like behavior of killing brahmanas and so forth and so on, then the king must give protection. But there's another kind of protection. And the other kind of protection is accepting, even if someone has done something wrong, when they offer their genuine submission and surrender, to give them protection. Another kind of protection. And at this place, Tirupalani, I learned a lot when I was in South India. Tiru is a Tamil word that's equivalent to what we are more accustomed to, the Sanskrit word Sri. Tiru and Pulani. Pula is a Tamil word that means grass, like Darbha grass. So it's the place where Ramachandra, for 3 days, laid a bed of grass, Darbha grass, and in a reclining position, Darbha Shayana Ram is the name of the deity there, where there's an Anantashesha, and there's Lord Ramachandra. If you didn't know, it would look like Narayana and Anantashesh, or Garbhadakshay Vishnu and Anantashesh. But there's grass. There's Anantashesh, and then there's grass, and then it's Ram. For 3 days, under the advice of Vibhishan, in order to cross to Lanka. So before we get to... And it's Adi... It's also known as Adi Setu, because it's where the Setu began, the bridge. Right there. Just short distance where the bridge began. And where Samudra came before, with his palms folded, before Ramachandra. Now, he had made a mistake, but he learned from his mistake and apologized for his mistake and surrendered unto Lord Ramachandra. So the local people, the priest that was taking us to see the Adi Jagannath deity and the Darbha Shayana Ram deity, that this is Sharanagati Kshetra. It's known widely, not just the Pujari, but the a place of surrender. And with surrender, then, protection for those who are surrendered. That's Krishna's promise. It's Krishna's promise. And such a nice pastime of protection, I'd like to narrate. So of those five brothers and two sisters, there was one who was unlike the others, and that's Vibhishan. And Vibhishan, on the one hand, being the brother of Ram, the brother of Ravana, the younger brother of Ravana, he was, by religious principle, he supported his brother, Ravana, although he did awful things. And he would, something like Vidura, he would give advice without details because we don't have 5 hours. He advised in specific ways three times. And once there was a spy, once Ram and all the Vanaras reached the shore of Tirupalani, there was a spy that was sent by Ravana, and his name was Shardula. And Shardula didn't have any conversation. He just did some intelligence spying and went back to Lanka and informed Ravana, not only has Hanuman ruined our city, there's countless numbers, millions and millions and millions, can't count them all, of the same size as Hanuman. We're in for big trouble. Big trouble. Why don't you give Sita back? I think it'll be over. So many times Ravan was given that good advice. And so many times he rejected that good advice. Without the detail, Ravana called an assembly. A little background on Ravana, how he became so. He was born the son of a Brahmana. Vishrava was a Brahmana. He was his eldest son. So Vishrava, the Brahmana, taught Ravana the Vedas. He gave him Brahminical training. He taught him arts that are within the field of Vedic Brahmana teachings. He taught him astronomy. He really trained. And Ravana was a good student. But he had bad association. The bad association was his grandfather. His grandfather, Sumali, was determined. He's going to be Daitya-like. So he kept, you know, feeding him instructions and teachings, and Ravana liked it. So he went and hung out with Sumali and learned another kind of science, like, you know, warfare and military skill and, you know, all of those things. He really liked that much better than being a Brahmana. And then he decided that he wanted to get power so he could use all that knowledge and, like, smash everybody. So he, for several years, he underwent austerities, really severe austerities, almost like Vrikasura. 10 times he cut off his head and another head appeared. That's how he got 10 heads. 1 head, 2 heads, 3 heads, 4 heads, 10 heads. Finally, Lord Shiva appeared and said, I'm easily pleased. You don't have to cut off your head. Like he said to Vrikasura. What would you like? I'd like immortality. No, I'm not going to give you immortality. Well, then, he did, similar to what Hiranyakashipu did. Well, how about this one and that one, the other one? Yeah, I want some powers and, okay. Then he was feeling, wow, I've got Lord Shiva's powers. Then one time he went to visit Lord Shiva at Kailash. Nandi said, your attitude is bad. You can't come. And he was like, don't tell me no. So to show Nandi, he started to lift Mount Kailash. It came to Lord Shiva's attention. Lord Shiva placed his foot on the area where Ravana was trying to lift Mount Kailash and crushed him. But not dead, just like held him under Kailash for a long time. And he was screaming in pain and crying out. And it is said one of the skills he learned from Vishrava was how to play Veena. He was really good at music. So he was playing on his bulging nerves, music. Shiva was really impressed. And it went on for some time, and finally Lord Shiva released his foot. And he gave him then the name, Ravana, one who cries. Of course, there's another meaning, one who makes others cry. This is a different morning class, isn't it? Ramayana. So he then, Lord Shiva gave him a special sword. And Ravana is thinking, I'm not immortal, but... Oh, yeah, then the curse came when this first happened. That, Dandi cursed him that you'll be destroyed by a monkey. You're so proud and foolish. And so it was. Lankini, when she saw Hanuman and then remembered that prophecy that Ravana would be destroyed by a monkey, here he is. Please come. He had previously, with his stepbrother Kuvera, they had friendship. But now he's like, his lower nature, his Rakshasa-like nature, trained up by Sumali, started to explode. So he didn't just go and visit Kuvera at Lanka. He told him, give me Lanka. I want it for myself. So Kuvera went to his father, or their father, and Vishrava said, you can't defeat him. Don't fight him. Just give him Lanka. So Kuvera withdrew. Ravana made Lanka his capital. And then started, terrorizing and tormenting everybody. These little terrorists are no match for Ravana. So, Ravana had this prior training from his father, Vishrava, of how to do things in a proper way. So he sometimes would do things in a proper way. He called an assembly of his ministers and announced to them every good king, before taking a decision and making a plan of action, will consult his ministers. Don't just be yes men. Don't say, why are you asking us? Because you're so powerful, you're this and that. I want your advice. So they gave their advice in various ways, without the list of the different persons giving different advices. And after they all gave their advice, his brother, Vibhishan, stood up and said, these people are flatterers, and flatterers as ministers are your enemies. They're not really ministers. Here's the reality. You've done terrible sinful activity, and those who do sinful activity commit adharma, they'll be crushed. This behavior of in the absence of Ram stealing his wife? If you wanted his wife, fight him in battle. But you didn't do the Dharma thing, you did the Adharma thing. And you have no idea of how powerful is Ram. And, you know, basically give Sita back and it's over. So he closed the assembly. I have to think about this. Vibhishan had a private discussion with him, told him basically the same thing. Ravana exploded. Called the assembly next day. Okay, I'm taking back that question. What should be done? My question now is how to destroy Ram. Please give me your ideas of how to destroy Ram. I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. You know, big heroes saying, I can do it. Kumbhakarna slammed him. One of his Ravan and Kumbhakarna, giant Vijay, said, you know, what kind of king are you? You've already made your decision and now you're asking for advice? You've got it backwards. And you go, and this you did backwards, and that you did backwards, and that you did backwards. Everything is wrong in this picture, as Bhadri Narayan Maharaj will say. How many things are wrong in this picture? Right? So Vas, it's like one of his phrases. So, he's not here. Still, because I'm your brother, I'll fight on your behalf. I'll put that principle of Dharma up here and all the other ones over there. Very foolish. And hearing of this again, Vibhishan, you know, made his last-ditch effort. Ravana became to say, don't do this, you're foolish, all these people are giving you ill advice. I'm going to speak the truth, which you don't want to hear, but I'm going to, because it's my duty as your brother and as your minister, I must do it. And he spoke. Ravana became so angry, said, if you weren't my brother, you'd be dead. Get out of here. Run for your life. Bhisha wasn't afraid. Obviously, he's speaking like Prahlad, speaking before Hiranyakashipu. You're fearless. And then he rose from the assembly with four ministers, and it even gives the amount of time. In less than an hour, he made it to where Ram was. But he was, the Ramayana says his body was massive. It was like a big cloud in the sky with weapons, and each of the ministers with weapons. And he stood with folded palms, hovering in the air, because he had that mystic power, and approached Sugriva. My dear Sugriva, my name is Vibhishan. I'm the brother of Ravana. And I've tried in so many ways to try to persuade Ravana not to destroy the Rakshasa dynasty, to give back Sita. It's very simple. And he was ready to kill me. So I've come here to take shelter of Ram. Can you convey the message to Ram, like the intermediary? Or Madhusevata uses this term, interlocutor, it's a Latin term. Carry the message to Ram and let me know what Ram says. Will he give me shelter? Sugriva didn't trust him. He didn't have a good side of being really trustful right away. Some people are this way and some people are that way. That was Sugriva's disposition. He carried the message and also carried his advice. Don't trust him. And then so Ram did what a good king does. He consulted the wise and responsible persons before stating what his decision was. And one by one, Angada said, well, at least we should examine him. Give him some task. Observe very carefully how he carries out the task. And then we can decide whether to accept him or not. It all sounds like, you know, interesting and reasonable. Jambavan said, I don't trust his motivation. He knows Ravana is going to be destroyed. He wants the kingdom. So he's coming just because he wants the kingdom. He's mixed in his motivations, at least. And Mainda, another Vanara, said, send him down, interrogate him really intensely, and then you can find out what his motivations are. Some others spoke, and Ram turned to Hanuman, who was silent and patiently hearing everything, and asked Hanuman, what is your opinion? What is your advice? Hanuman systematically went through what all the other ones had said and said why that's foolish, and gave his reasons. You interrogate a person, they're going to hide the real purpose. You give him a task and observe him, he's going to hide his real purpose. You're not going to really know by those methods. Rather, face is the index to the mind. I see from his face and hear the sound of his voice, because they heard him speak to Sugriva. This is a sincere person. And even if he does have some motivation, who doesn't have a motivation? He's taking shelter of Ram, and he should be accepted. Then Hanuman asked Ram, what is your view? Oh, Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Ramachandra said, I cannot refuse a person who has sought my shelter, whatever his motivations or intentions may be. I must accept him. And then he concluded that any good person will never find fault in this. Well, Sugriva found fault in it. His two points were, his nature is he's a rakshasa. So now he's being nice, but he's a rakshasa, and his rakshasa nature is going to come out, and so I don't trust him. Why should you trust him? He's going to do the rakshasa program. It's his nature. And the second is, he just betrayed his brother. So he makes friends with you, and you think he's not going to betray you? I don't trust him. Why do you want to accept him? And there's a long discussion where very carefully, because this is another, you know, challenge for a leader, in this case Ram, he didn't want to just like give his edict, okay, you know, I've heard you all, this is my decision. He very carefully responded to both the details and the mood, the feelings of Sugriva. And he said, Sugriva, I know that you love me, and where your concern is coming from is for my well-being. But please understand, I could destroy the entire Rakshasa army from here. I don't need anybody's help. I don't need Vibhishan or you or anybody. I could, you know, create a universe and destroy a universe. So don't worry about my safety. And remember that little message we'll just in the wrap-up of this presentation this morning. But it's because you have a love for me. Now, your concern that he has betrayed his brother. Bali, what about your brother? Excuse me, Sugriva, what about your brother? And should I not accept you because, you know, you had the thing with your brother? I accept you because of your surrender to me. Faults are going to be there in anyone. But one who takes shelter of the personality of Godhead, he didn't use that language, but one who takes shelter of the personality of Godhead can become freed from those propensities. And if the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't give shelter, because you've had some bad deeds, or you've not acted in accord with Dharma, who hasn't? You yourself. And while whatever his nature is, Rakshasa nature, then this very famous much loved statement from Ramayana is, I take a vow before all of you. Anyone who even once says, I am yours, even once, and prays to me for courage, my vow is I will protect them forever. And I will give them the courage. I will enable them to become fearless forever, just once. Sugriva, even if Ravana came, after all the bad things that he's done, not just Sita, but all the bad things he's done, if he came and just once said, and even it wasn't like, you know, squeaky clean, wasn't completely pure, if he said it just once, took shelter, I'd forgive him also and give him shelter. Sugriva started to cry. He said, then he went, a long appreciation of, you know, the nature of the exalted dear friend of his and Supreme Lord Ramachandra. Your quality is why persons love you and adore you and want to follow you because of this nature that you have. And then Ramachandra, long description, then Ramachandra said, you know, you've kept, he's still hanging up there in the air. You're his intermediary. So you'll be making an offense if you don't accept him. So go back and apologize for keeping him waiting. And bring him here. I have already accepted him. I have already given him shelter. Deliver that message. So, Sugriva didn't deliver the message reluctantly. He delivered that message wholeheartedly. Because he understood the person who he is serving. The quality, the character, the ideal position of the person who he's serving. Lord Ramachandra. And Vibhishan came and fell at the feet. He had a crown and he had weapons in his hand. He dropped the weapons. He took his crown off and he placed his head at Ramchandra's feet and praised him. You're the most worthy person to take shelter of. Everyone has some shelter. You're the worthy person to take shelter. Now, a few more things, and we'll end. There's commentary by our acharyas about this process of surrender, that which criterion for one who is to extend shelter or protection, certainly to the personality of Godhead, but those who are representing the personality of Godhead. And the acharyas indicate that the four ministers represent these four characteristics. Two are corresponding with qualities that should be with the person seeking shelter. Two are qualities for one who's giving shelter, the Sharanagata and the Sharanya. So, the first one is akinchanatvam. We know that word akinchana from Queen Kunti's prayers. Twice she speaks that, akinchana. Prabhupada translated it as the materially impoverished. But it doesn't mean, you know, you have to give up your worldly possessions. You have to give up the false notion that you have worldly possessions and that through those worldly possessions you can find happiness. Like, perfect example is Maharaj Ambarish. He had unlimited opulence and no attraction for it. He used it, but he had no shelter in that. His shelter was in Krishna. He was a Krishna Bhakta. Akinchanatvam. No other shelter. And then the reverse. is Ananya Gatitvam. Ananya means no other, and Gati means goal. I have no other shelter, and I have only your shelter. You know, like Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam. Accept those things favorable, reject things unfavorable, like that. You know, backwards and forwards. Inclusive and exclusive. Complete. Shelter and no other shelter. So that's the criteria. And then the person who's giving shelter. Two characteristics mentioned by our acharyas. Saralata is the first, and that's simplicity. Simplicity is something that Bhakti Siddhanta wrote about. Those who may have read that Brahmanism and Vaishnavism essay, now it's a little book with a paper that he delivered, it's a long story. But in the primary qualification, the most significant, outstanding, important qualification of a Brahmana is saralata, simplicity. And Bhakti Siddhanta in this lecture, or in the paper, because he gave a public lecture on it, simplicity he speaks of in that essay as one who abides by the truth, regardless of what that may mean, the consequences. You just speak the truth, live the truth. Truth rules you. It's a principle that governs your life. And he gives as the example the young man who wanted to become a disciple of Gotama, and he approached, some from the Shrutis, he approached Gotama and I'd like to become your disciple. And Gotama said, very well, what is your gotra? And he said, I don't know. And Gotama said, well, go ask your mother. And he went to ask his mother, and his mother said, I've been with so many men, I don't even know who your father is. So I don't know your gotra. But you can tell Gotama, my name is Jabla, and your name is Satyakama. So Satyakama Jabla, that's your gotra. So he went back and told Gotama exactly what his mother said. And Gotama said, very well, they accept you as a disciple because you have this quality of saralata. Straightforward. Honest. Abide by the truth. Never deviate from the truth. And then he gave him two instructions. One was, go gather wood for the yajna. So, humble service. And never depart from the truth. So Bhakti Siddhanta refers to that as saralata. And in relation to the one giving shelter, saralata has a flip side connotation, and that is one doesn't consider, like Srila Prabhupada, didn't consider what's your background, what's your gotra, how many sinful activities have you performed? Without consideration of qualification, disqualification on the material platform, giving shelter without discrimination. Simplicity for the shelter-giving person is seeing the sincerity of submission. Doesn't matter the background. Here's shelter. Like Lord Ramachandra said about Vibhishan, I've already given him shelter. You know, like the opposite of Krishna saying to Arjuna, I've already destroyed them. And then the fourth, or the second quality of the one giving shelter is very simple, shakti. You have the capacity to give somebody shelter. You have the capacity to extend protection. And protection doesn't just mean you have big biceps and weapons in your hands. It means, you know, the other forms of empowerment to give, ultimately, to give Krishna. And because Krishna, and through the acceptance of Krishna for those that aren't Krishna or Ramachandra, representatives of them, that the heart is pure. And through that pure heart, there's empowerment that comes. It's not one's own power, it's empowerment. And then protection can be there. Something like what Vaisheshika Prabhu was speaking yesterday about Mangalarti and what she does with the people at the Bhakti Lounge, or whatever it's called. What's it called? Bhakti Lounge. She doesn't like fix people's problems. She just cares a lot. And there's bhakti, deep caring bhakti, and you know, there's resources that she can refer people to, and so the thing that carries people to those resources is the caring, the deep caring, and some genuine, sincere, not motivated, being the instrument, nimitta matram. There's no substitute for purity. There's always challenges in this world. So, but the protection is there with purity, and one can extend protection if there's purity. It's not, you know, I'm mighty. It's Krishna's power, the empowerment of giving Krishna bhakti. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami speaks of this. One cannot deliver bhakti without being empowered to do so. Cannot. That's the shakti part. So seeing oneself not as the doer, but as the instrument of descending mercy. Factually, not like in language only, but in heart. Then this principle of surrender works. I'm keeping track of time. I just want to wrap up with two other things. After Vibhishan came, there were two other spies that Ramchandra sent, that Ravana sent, Sukha and Sarana. Sukha and Sarana. And there was a specific message of Sukha. He assumed, Rakshasas had the ability to assume different forms, he assumed a form like the Vanaras, like a monkey, and the message that he was to deliver from Ravana was to Sugriva, kind of like divide and conquer. So the message was, Sugriva, you're like my brother. Because there was some close relationship between Ravana and Vali. And you're the brother of Vali, so you're my brother. And there's been no enmity between us. So give up, you know, this program of having enmity towards me. There's no enmity between us. And not only that, I'm Ravana, I'm really powerful, and who's this, you know, human being guy over there, Ram? You know, why do you want to be on his side? Come on over. Divide and conquer. Sugriva, let him have it. You're not my brother. You're not my friend. You know, tell Ravana, you know, this and that and the other thing, and he's soon going to be destroyed with his whole dynasty. Other Vanaras overheard the discussion. And so they, Angada in particular, he picked up Sukha and threw him to the ground and started thrashing him, and all the other Vanaras jumped on him and pounding him. And he just called out Ram's name. And Ram gave him shelter and protection. It was, you know, the right thing to do, a little circumstantial surrender to Ram. But he has a vow. Well, just take shelter of me once. And they were sent back. He said, you'd like to know about our situation? We'll tell you all about it. And take all that information back to Ravana. No problem. So then, last, Vibhishan was asked two questions. Give a detailed description of the fortifications of Lanka and the numbers. You know, what's the enemy's program over there? Because if we're going to wage war, we need to know that. And the second was, Vibhishan, do you have a suggestion? I mean, Ram's asking Vibhishan for a suggestion how to cross the ocean. 800 miles. 100 yojanas. Well, Vibhishan said, in the previous dynasty, in the Ikshvaku dynasty, Sagara helped create the ocean. So now that's the place where Samudra rules. I suggest you approach Samudra, and he'll gladly help you cross. Ram said, that's a very good suggestion. So then he fasted for 3 days. Different versions of the Ramayana have different details, but for 3 days he laid down Darbha grass with the tips pointing in a certain direction and did, you know, his fasting, and Samudra didn't come. So we know what happened. Now, commentary on this says he didn't come not because he had, like, you know, some problem in helping Ram. He was really afraid of Ravan. If he helps Ram, he's going to get it from Ravan. He was afraid. Ravan was a terrorist. And people that are terrorized by terrorists don't want to come forward and do the right thing. So he was hesitant. And then again, different versions of Ramayana have different what happened next. But Ram became very angry. Some say just with his eyes, the whole ocean began to boil. Some with his arrows, and the ocean receded back 10 miles, and Ram was planning to dry up the whole ocean so he didn't have to have a bridge or anything to get across. And all the aquatics were burning, and Samudra came and offered passage. In this place, Tirupulani, the place of surrender. Just like in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, that part when he returns back to Navadvip and stays for some days where he gives forgiveness for this one and that one and the other one. It's part of the Lord's nature. Even people that are offenders, he forgives and lifts. If they're willing, there's another possibility, and at least with Ram, they're destroyed. So that's this hatha. Same with us. We can make some mistakes. Do anybody here ever make a mistake? We'll say it the other way. Anybody here never made a mistake? I remember my eighth grade science teacher said, you know, I remember, you know, 25 years ago I made a mistake, but it was minor, and everybody laughed. We all make mistakes. In our devotional service, we make mistakes of judgment, of speech, of, you know, different. We make mistakes. What do we do when we make a mistake? Well, it depends on our shelter taking in the Supreme Lord. With Tathaka, her husband made a mistake, she made a mistake. There was no remorse. She just continued her program and was destroyed. Or Suparnika, she made a mistake. She could have learned something from having her nose cut off, but she didn't. But Vibhishan, he made a mistake, and Samudra made a mistake, but they took shelter and they were given protection. So the position of leaders is give protection. And there's different ways of giving protection. You can give it this way, or you can give it that way. And it's not like, it shouldn't be whimsical. It should be guided by, you know, these nice teachings of the Ramayana. Really nice teachings. And you can't give protection unless there's purity. So that's the first business. First business. Become pure. And then by hearing and chanting of the means of purification, we can have some idea of what's to be done, what's not to be done, because otherwise we're in ignorance and it's just backwards. What's not to be done is to be done. What's to be done is not to be done. We get it backwards. We're, you know, in Maya. So to get out of Maya, we need the hearing and chanting and the submission to the message and the persons delivering the message and ultimately the Supreme Lord, the place of shelter. And then we can at least move towards purity and then try to assist others imperfectly, however that may be. But praying sincerely, sincerely, with whatever capacity Krishna has given us, to act rightly in a way that's pleasing to him and encourage others to do the same. That's our life as whatever the titles the people in the room here may carry. We're all giving some care and attention to others. We're trying. And so these lessons from Ramayana are really powerful. Powerful lessons. Hare Krishna. Any comments or question? Yes, Kalakanta Prabhu. Well, from what we just covered, the answer is probably yes. But from what we just covered, supposing someone says, "Oh, please forgive me," and it's cosmetic only. What's the forgiveness of? It's proportionate to. One can easily forgive. But is there remorse for the wrong? Then it's easy to give. There was a nice, in the South India, because it just did it, it's so fresh. When Indra had offended Gautama, and had been cursed by Gautama, and he wanted relief from the curse. Different things happened. And one of them was he was advised to go to Lord Shiva, and he wasn't allowed entrance. Nandi stopped him and said, "You can't come here without permission from Brihaspati." He said, "Well, you know, but help, I'm in distress." "No, you must go to Brihaspati." So Brihaspati said, "What's the use of asking for forgiveness? Well, there's no action that goes along with the asking for forgiveness. You know, the remorse and showing the remorse in a practical way." So he gave him a program to practically demonstrate his remorse to become purified. Because according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, regret for a Vaishnava is a form of tapa or purification. So he did. And then he had access, and so he received forgiveness. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for the beautiful narration of Ramayana.
Different kind of class this morning.
Yeah, it was very nice. I always had this question. The first demon killed by both Lord Ramchandra and Lord Krishna was a female demon. So is there any significance behind it, or is there any tattva, reason why?
I don't know. There's symmetry, but why it was, I don't know. You have to ask Krishna. I have not read any. Does anybody have read anything from our acharyas that explains the reason why the first was female? Huh? Ladies are first. Lady before gentleman. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.